Hey everyone, this is Stelyefty.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And today we want to talk about that kind of crucial phase when you go from having hired your first employee to scaling your team up to 10 people.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Right, so in the beginning, it's just yourself or you and your co-founders. We talked in a prior episode about making that first crucial hire for your startup. And now you're on a roll, you're rocking and rolling, you're growing the team, and it's transforming from the beginning was just the founders to now you need to hire kind of the first, I don't know, up to 10 people could still be considered the founding team to a certain degree, depending on the timeline. But it's the first kind of A-team crucial foundation that hopefully will help the team grow. So the first 10 hires, basically, are getting to 10 people on the team. The difficulties, the challenges, the things people have to consider and keep in mind, what kind of people to hire, what kind of people not to hire. We wanted to talk about that.
Yep. And we talked in a prior episode about like how to hire your first team member. And so this is just an extension of that. So I'll start just by kicking off. It's likely that at least your next couple after that are still people you know or people that on your team know or people that your friends know. And the reason I say that is that's the easiest, what you would say is, you know, easiest part of your network to go after, which is people you already know. So it's going to be pretty tight. You're probably going to have some idea of, you know, what they're like and knowing them. This is usually the common scenario that I see, which is the first couple of hires after the first actual hire ends up being people the team knows. Sometimes it's who that first person knows too, because, you know, there's always like this idea, and I think this works at any scale. But the first thing I would say is like, when anybody comes into your company, you should always ask them who's amazing that you would want to work with. Especially, you know, obviously if they're amazing and they make it through whatever, you know, period you have of, 30 days or whatever. That's like one of the easiest ways to build that sort of list of people that you might want to work with, even if you're not ready to work with them yet.
Yeah. And I'll add something to that. So I would ask people, who's somebody amazing that you would want to work with that would never want a job here? Right.
Oh, I like that.
Because people, in my experience, people are applying filters that are too tough when they're not just thinking, who do I know who's amazing? But they're thinking, who do I know who's amazing who's looking for a job or who doesn't have anything good going on in their life? And that, you know, that filters it out, that eliminates a lot of it, most of the people that you would want to hire, right? Because the most truly amazing people will have something going on usually, or have a career or goals or some path they're on. So I always like to add that, you know, tell me somebody that's amazing you would love to work with, and there's zero chance we could ever hire that person just for fun, right? Who's somebody that's incredible that we would never be able to hire? And that's the person I want to talk to, right? And I would even use that when I would reach out to these people and tell them, hey, whatever Bob said, you're one of the smartest, most amazing people he knows. And he said, we'd have never a chance to hire you. So I'm not going to even try, but I am intrigued. I want to know more about you. And that you know, obviously that's very flattering. People are really excited, but also it puts down the guard of people who already have a good job of trying to go, no, I'm not looking for a job and please don't try to hire me. And they just relax and it's just, hey, let's get to know each other. You know, maybe now is a good time, but even if not, maybe 10 years down the line or a few years down the line, there's going to be opportunities to work together. And if people put down that guard, you can truly explore if there's a fit. And I can't tell you how many people I've hired that would have never wanted a job here in the beginning, and then just gradually fell in love with company and the team and everything. And all of a sudden, it became a real thing they considered and decided to join. So I would add that to the question. And I love the thinking process of, hey, the first 10 people are probably going to be people within your network. They're going to be referrals. It's unlikely or not advisable typically for you to go, well, we need to hire a bunch of people. Let's put up a post on Craigslist and hire our first 10 employees that way. Not that, again, not that it cannot work, right? I mean, playing the lottery can also work if you want a plan to succession and money. But I would not tell you to play the lottery as like your game plan for financial success. So putting job posts up and getting random people to apply, it's just going to be a lot harder for you to get the type of people where trust is not a factor anymore and where people are not just coming into the startup with like an employee mindset, but really with an entrepreneurial, startup, scrappy, do whatever it takes kind of a mindset. And maybe we should talk a little bit about what kind of people should you hire as your for the first 10 people of the team? What kind of people typically should you try to avoid, or positions that are just not needed? Because I do see quite a lot of startups, they'll make hires in their first 10 people that are enigmas to me, when I'm like, why the hell? You guys are 7 people and you need a chief financial officer? Like, explain that to me. Why is that a super crucial role right now? What is this person doing 8 hours a day, every single day, at this stage where you have zero revenue? Like, what are we doing here? So there's some hires that probably you don't want to make in your first 10. There's some type of people, type of positions that you probably will need.
Yeah, I mean, you do see a lot of people overhiring, and that just means they hire really fast. And related to that is what you were saying, which is they hire people who are either too senior or just don't make sense in a startup. And usually those are people with those C-level titles, VP titles, director titles. And this is, and you know, we are talking about like the first few hires. So in those first few hires, it's very unlikely that those kind of hires will work. I mean, another thing related to that is that you don't want to use a recruiter in the beginning either, just like you don't want to do a ton of job postings or anything, because it's likely these people will come from some way of the people you already know. Hiring a recruiter too early also causes a lot of pain, where you're just wasting money. Recruiters are actually really expensive, and you're looking for more sort of a personalized approach where the founder's reaching out and things like that, versus having to like sit there and hire a recruiter and you know, go through a recruiter and have them help you hire. That includes like even hiring a recruiter as the first thing you do at a company. This is something that people used to do back in the day, which is, oh, we need to hire people. Let's hire an internal recruiter, right? That's also another sign that like, you know, the founders might just not be willing to do the work, and that generally doesn't end well. So yeah, the biggest mistake is just hiring someone too senior, you know, and you want doers, basically. You want people that are going to sit there and actually do the work, not want you to just hire more and more people.
Yeah, I used to always say, like, if in the early days of a startup, if you're not somebody that is creating or designing a product, then you need to be somebody that is selling that product, right? I mean, you're a designer hack or you're a hustler. I know you don't love that term, but you need to be hiring highly practical people that can actually create things or bring in revenue. And so when you think about positions like a chief financial officer, right, when there's not that many finances, it's overkill. When you think about, you know, a chief innovation officer, any chief that a large Fortune 500 company would have, you probably don't want, except the CEO. And yeah, of course, the co-founder could be the CTO and all that. But in general, like, you don't want to be hiring these super senior people. As you said, VPs of anything, these people are amazing at scaling things. These people are great when there's infrastructure, where there's lots of people to organize and all that. But when they're not, you're not going to hire, as an example that's very familiar to me, you're not going to hire a VP of sales to be your first salesperson at a startup and see a lot of success.
Yeah, it's just please not gonna don't happen. Do that.
Please don't do that. Because these people haven't sold shit in years, right? If they're good, first of all, if they're good, you should not be able to hire them if you have no salespeople. Like, a VP of sales wanting to come and be your first salesperson, to me, is the first and the only red flag I need to say, don't hire that person. There's something wrong here.
Yeah, absolutely. They're looking for a lot different situation than what you can provide them.
Yeah, if they're good. And then if they're bad, that title is probably bullshit anyways. They might have had some other startup the title VP of something, but they didn't really do the job of a vice president. So just don't hire uber senior people, because very senior people, A, they're incredibly expensive. B, you should not be able to hire them, except if you have if it's like your best friend, your father, your neighbor. If you don't have some crazy advantage, you should not be able to just post on Craigslist and then get a application from a super senior person to work at your 4-person startup. And so you have to ask yourself, why is this person even interested in this job? If I put up a job posting and then a CEO of a Fortune 500 company applies to be my assistant, I'm not excited. I'm scared shitless, right? I'm like, something here, it does make no sense for this person to want to do this job. So what is wrong here? Like, something must be wrong here. Can't be that a person that was making millions of dollars wants to be my assistant. It doesn't mean that it's impossible, but it makes a lot of alarm bells ring and makes me want to go, what is wrong in this situation? So yeah, and then these people are good at managing lots of people and lots of process. And you're not in the situation yet of managing process and scaling things and training and hiring and leading people. You're less than 10 as a total company. You want producers. You want somebody that's going to be able to, and creative producers, right? Even if it's a salesperson, it needs to be a salesperson that's going to be able to sell a moving target, right? Your company might be shifting and changing as you go along. You're selling. You need a salesperson that's able to sell something without a brochure, without a lot of collateral, without a perfect kind of brand, without a lot of recognition in the market, without. And with changing information, today you tell the salesperson, this is what we're doing. And then 2 months down the line, you discovered some really important things and you're shifting or pivoting what you're doing. And you need somebody that's very flexible. It's going to help you figure out, you know, how to sell this product and what kind of product you should be selling, just as well as doing the jobs of selling it, and not just somebody that comes and knows how to do a job, because chances are in the very early days, things are going to be changing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you really nailed it. Just these, you know, and just these senior people coming in too early, that's a red flag, and you should definitely check into why they're even willing to do that. Outside of that, let's say for some reason someone doesn't have a network and or anybody that they can, you know, hire. What do they do?
They don't have a network and they have nobody they can hire. Well, that's always very hard for me to believe. Even if your network is very limited, like, I came here 10 years ago when I moved to the U.S. and the Valley. I knew nobody, right? Literally zero people, zero humans that I knew in the U.S. And then what do? You hustle. You go to events. You talk to people. You try to make some friends. You tell them what your challenges are, what kind of people you're looking for, that you're trying to build a business or a team. And they give you a recommendation. They tell you, oh, I know this other guy. Maybe this person is a good fit. I'll connect you. And you just create, it's hard to believe that you know zero people and you cannot meet people and start building a network. But whatever, let's say if you just moved to a country and you don't know lots of people, just try to meet as many, part of your early job is going to be to meet as many people as possible and create a little network and create some friendships, and then ask the people that you're meeting sitting down for coffee or dinner or lunch, tell them about your challenges and ask them if they know smart people that you could be working with. If you're entering a new industry where you have no network, you're whatever, you have some biotech idea, but you've always been in the B2B sales space, and so you know nobody in the biotech space. In that, to me, you could just ask yourself, all right, so maybe I don't have a direct connection to somebody in the to lots of people that do biotech, but who do I know that is maybe in medicine? Who do I know that is in science? Who do I know? And even if I know nobody, I'll go, who do I know who went to a school that has some of these, that covers some of these topics? And I'll ping a bunch of people, send them emails and go, hey, I'm really interested in this biotech field. Who are the two? Do you know anybody who's really smart, who's in that field that I can ask questions, get advice from? And just start building a network, I think, is my answer to that. I don't know if you can think of a scenario where people couldn't be doing this, or if you have a good tip for people. If you don't have a network, here's what you do to hire some good people.
Yeah, I just asked the question because I know some people listening might feel like they don't have a network and they might be thinking, oh, you know, what do I do? I honestly, that your suggestion is the best. It's like if you can't go network and go find people or get people to talk to you about what you're doing and get their advice, then like, might not want to be doing what you're doing. Like it is a relationship, you know, most businesses are all about relationship. All businesses are. And so I think it's really crucial to think about it like that and go build a network. And because you're working on something that's a specific problem in the world, it shouldn't be that difficult for you to go out there and start talking to people about what you're doing, even if it's like some professors or someone in your local area that's interested in the topic. I mean, you're building a business and people are always happy to talk to you about what you're doing. And sometimes you just have to reach out to enough of them.
Well, let's flip this around. So let's say, you know what kind of people you want to hire. You know, through referrals, through your network in the early days, where to go to talk to people. But now how does the hiring process look like, when you're still less than 10 people, or when you're scaling up from 1 to 10 employees? How many interviews do you do? Do you have everybody interview everybody? Like, how complex or simple is this? How do you know if somebody's going to be a good hire for that super early stage? What are kind of the characteristics you're looking for? And then how do you onboard these people? Because a lot of times, for most startups, the answer to most of these questions for the first 10 people will be something like, there is no process, there's no real interviewing stages, and there's no real onboarding. You just talk to people and somebody seems cool or seems exciting. You just say, congratulations, you got the job, start tomorrow. When they show up at the office, you go, well, figure out how to do this or how to fix this, or please build us that. And you just throw people into the cold water. Is that at the kind of 1 to 10, is that the right approach or the most practical approach? Is there things that you've seen companies do or that you would advise people to do as they think about hiring the first 10 people in terms of the actual, not the recruiting process so much, but then the hiring process?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's even more important in the early days to have people that can just jump in and start working. And if they've got, honestly, if they've got too many questions or too many things going on, you probably don't have answers anyways, because it's super early. So they have to be able to pick up the tools, pick up whatever knowledge is out there, and just start working, start, doing stuff. And obviously ask questions and things like that as necessary. But yeah, I really prefer people who within a day, first day, you can just see the hustle, as you would say it, and see them kind of jump into the job and start doing it. I don't see any other way at the earliest stages. It's like, there's just so much to do usually, actually all the time. And you want people that can just jump in and start doing it. I mean, that's a criteria. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot, and this is an interesting one, right? Some people might be good at a specific skill set, but they need to be managed, or they're not good at being self-reliant and just coming up. And when they don't know what to do, they make a decision based on what they've learned, or based on kind of their best conscious, but they don't need to be told all the time what to do next and how to do things. You give them a project, you tell them what the ultimate goal is, and then you can set them free, and they love that freedom and they're able to just operate on their own. That doesn't mean that you'll never talk when you're, up to 10 people. The team is still small enough to be in one small space. There's going to be a lot of like serendipity and talking and asking questions and for feedback and all that. And all that is good. But when you have somebody that needs to be managed every day and needs to be told what to do, for those first 10 people, it's going to be very tough. Even if they're good at their skill set, let's say somebody's a great designer, visually that person can design beautiful things. But they cannot just tackle projects. They cannot just manage their time. They cannot just prioritize what's really important to design now versus not. They need to be managed every single day. It's going to slow you down way too much for the first 10 people for it to work out. So you want people that can self-manage and that are proactive and that are not afraid to make mistakes. So they're not constantly looking for others to give them the thumbs up, so they have the approval of others, so they're not alone with that decision. They can, when necessary, they can make decisions, they can take some risks, and they're okay if it failed or if they made a mistake, they'll learn from it, they'll move on. So you're definitely looking for that. The other thing that I'll say that just popped in my head is that a lot of times in the early days, it might be hard for the first 10 employees, especially if you find some exceptional talent, some people that are really amazing. It's not going to just be a one-way street. This always applies to amazing talent, but probably even especially in the early days for the first 10. It's not just, you're not a company that is just hiring. You're really recruiting. Like, these people will probably need some convincing to want to even work for you and want to join your company. You're going to have to pitch them and treat them almost like they're investors, right? And you'll need them to buy into your vision and what you're doing. You really will need to sell them. You're not just telling them there's a job opening, please send us your CV. We'll look at it. If they're really great, they'll need to be sold. And oftentimes in the early days, small teams and small startups, they won't utilize, again, their network to make that selling and recruiting easier. So if you have advisors or investors, if you have anybody that has authority and experience and that believes in you and knows a lot about you, you should utilize these people in your recruiting process for the first 10 hires. A, to get feedback what other people think. Hey, is this really going to be a good fit? Is this person really good at this area? Do you think they're going to be great as a hire number three or number four, whatever it is? So just getting some outside feedback from people that are really experienced hiring tons of people in early stage startups. But also for the convincing part, I know that in our case, the first few people we wanted to hire, we would bring them to YC to the dinners. And then we would have them, we would mingle around and then bring them to PG and basically have PG sell these people on why we're an amazing startup to join. Right?
That's pretty cool.
And that is much more convincing than me telling you we're a great startup, right? When Paul Graham tells you, hey, out of all the startups I've seen, these guys are going to kill it. And this is an amazing team. You should try to join. It's much more convincing, obviously, much more powerful than if it's just us saying, hey, we think we're great and we're the best startup ever and you should join us. So, whenever you can, not everybody, knows PG or is part of YC, but, you have advisors, you might have some investors. Too many startups, they don't utilize their network to help them even hire, to have some of the investors do some of the interviews or talk to the people they're trying to convince and help them convince those hires in the early days.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great one. Is that your tip or are we?
I think we're at right at the tip time. So this is going to be my tip.
Okay, cool. My tip is just take it slow. Those first crucial hires are so crucial. And I see too many people just hire really fast. So, you know, they hire the first smart person they see for something that they're really trying to get done. They don't bother to, like you said, have advisors or investors or anybody that's involved in the company vet them in any way.